Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes that sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan?
Jordan.
You got some new pots. Tell me about them.
Well, Jordan, as you know, I've got a little bit of a green thumb lately. I've been growing some stuff in this new apartment. One of the things I wanted to do, I have a nice, oh, goddamn, my,
sleep! Get down!
No, I've been watching that the whole time.
My cat is apparently trying to eat them now on my windowsill. Anyway, my point is this new apartment that I have has a pretty nice windowsill, with a lot of, good amount of light, that's provided. Get down! Get down! Get!
She's trapped! Oh,
oh
God,
no.
She's trapped behind the pot. She's gonna.
I'm gonna throw something.
All right.
Okay. She's down. The problem is cats and plants both like windowsills.
Yeah,
and
true.
What we just experienced was me freaking out that Celine is going to eat these plants before they've come to growth. Anyway, I'm growing a number of things, growing tomatoes, peas, lettuce, some flowers, some peppers.
All looking very good.
And I've, you know, it's a process. You live and you learn. I've never really grown anything, especially indoors. And I left them in those sort of like seed germinating pods too long.
Way too long.
Oh, way too long.
Oh, I thought it was way too short.
I thought they were growing really well, and I was having a lot of progress with them. But it turns out, like, when I tried to transplant them over, a lot of them were clearly dead already.
Oh, okay.
So, like, just, you couldn't tell, because the top of them looked okay, but the roots were all fucked.
Right.
So I've learned lessons I can take with me into the next time I grow some plants. This is a fucking boring-ass beginning. Really, the highlight was
Celine jumping on there. That's it's just not going to get better.
She shan't
that.
Eat my peas. This is a podcast where I am learning a lot about growing plants, and I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I am learning a lot about both.
Indeed.
Well, a little bit about one.
Today we are ending the week, Jordan. It's very exciting to be at the end of a week. It's been a Don't laugh at me.
I'm sorry. I just don't know.
I'm still struggling with whether or not I should have thrown these scissors at my cat. For the record, I didn't.
Just
thought about it.
It's true.
It's been a week, man.
Yeah.
Monday was a lot. And then Wednesday was maybe more fun, but also still a lot. And then we come to the end of the week here, and I wanted to jump back in to 2013, to our investigation of what Alex was up to in the aftermath of Sandy Hook.
Of course.
And his reporting on it. And I got way more than I could have ever bargained for. And we'll get into that. But first, I need to give a shout-out to some people who have joined up and are supporting the show. So, first, Glenn, you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
Next, Alex J. Question mark?
There's a question mark?
No, I'm just putting, I'm insinuating.
Oh, you're
maybe
putting
it's Alex
a question
Jones.
Mark. Yes,
could be.
Now
who
I got
knows?
It.
Alex J., you are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, AJ.
Next, Goopy Cat. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Goopy Cat.
And
then finally, I'd like to say thank you to somebody who donated on a bit of an elevated level. We appreciate it oh so very much. So Brandon with a Y, B-R-A-N-D-Y-N.
All right.
Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bow, 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 bow. Jar Jar Binks has a
Caribbean
black accent.
He's
a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Brandon with a Y.
Thank you very much, Brandon with a Y.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I like what these guys do, I'd like to support the show, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
It would be very nice of you.
Yeah, you can help me buy more plants that my cat can possibly eat or something.
Also, people have been posting pictures of their shirts. They're looking pretty good.
I was worried
Not
about
bad.
It. I was worried about it.
Yeah, me too.
You never know how shirts are going to come out.
Right.
I think they look pretty good. I was very concerned that the background black that's underneath the note, that Call Larry Nichols note, I was worried it wouldn't match the black on the shirt.
Same here.
But it looks great.
It looks great.
So thank you, everybody who's buying those. If you'd like to buy a shirt, there is also a link on knowledgefight.com that takes you directly to the shirt store.
Indeed.
And they do ship internationally.
They
do. So if you are looking, you're overseas, you can do that.
And we're working on some other designs too, so we'll get that updated. Let's get out of this whole capitalist. What are we, dogs?
Yeah. Dog aliens.
Are we dog aliens?
So Jordan, do you remember what happened at the on our last episode? From 2013?
No, which one was that? I remember April 5th and 6th.
No, this is January.
January? All right. What month are we in now? This
last time we covered January 10th through 13th.
That's right.
2013. And Alex was really obsessed with the idea that on
Piers Morgan.
Well, there was that.
There's definitely that.
And then on the next day, he was going to have a huge guest.
Yes, and you revealed that it was not a huge guest.
It was the Obama phone lady. Today, we are going over January 14th, 2013, the day the Obama phone lady showed up.
That went down in infamy.
Yep. Here's an out-of-context drop from today's show.
That's what feminism is house slaves.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Alex.
No.
So on the last episode, Alex was so pumped about this. He was talking about how, like, he didn't even say it was the Obama phone lady. He was like, I've got such a huge guest.
The hugest of guests.
I don't want to jinx it by saying who it was, lest something fall through.
What if she got busy?
Right.
Her phone is obviously ringing off the hook.
Oh, no, her Obama phone.
Her Obama phone.
And so Alex opens up this show in the exact same mood, just pumped.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the 14th day of January, 2013. We're going to be here live, Lord willing, for the next 3 hours. And again, I am your host, Alex Jones. We do not have any guests today except for the Obama phone lady. And
she
is going to be in
name.
Studio with us.
Yeah, you might have recognized an essential problem with the beginning of this episode, and that is that Alex doesn't seem to know her name at all. Here is another clip where he just refers to her as the Obama phone lady.
And quite frankly, I haven't really hardly seen my children the last few days. I've been working so much over the weekend, and I want to go home and see them tonight, but I also want to take Obama phone lady out to dinner. You know what I'll do? I'll have my wife come meet us for dinner, and we'll take Obama phone lady and her husband, and we're going to tell you her name and everything here on air.
Once I figure out what it is.
The Obama phone lady, mister.
Uh-huh.
Her husband.
Obama phone lady, man. So you might at this point be questioning, how did this happen? Why is the Obama phone lady coming on to Alex's show?
It's a good question.
You don't even know who she is.
It's a really good question.
We'll get into who she is and all this stuff.
Also, apparently he doesn't know who she is either.
He knows enough.
Right, that's true.
He knows what she stands for in the conservative media.
Phones.
And that's plenty. But in this next clip, Alex explains how it came to be that the Obama phone lady ended up in his studio.
People are asking, why have you gotten Obama phone lady here? Well, number one, I said to listeners there'd be a $5,000 bounty for whoever got me a hold of her. That's some good English there. That there would be a $5,000 bonus for whoever got us in touch with her. And then if we actually got her on air, $5,000 bounty. And I got to talk to the guys that actually ran into her at a store and did this and obviously asked them if they want any of that bounty to go to her. But we flew her down here, and she is here.
So he paid $5,000 for one of his listeners to go find her and then paid to fly her to Texas. So he's in the hole for this.
Yeah. He could have just sent like an email to,
how would he? How would he know how to get a hold of her? No one had her name. She was just someone who appeared in a fucking viral video. Alex is like really trying to do some digging here.
Okay.
He didn't have an email address. As we learn later in this episode, she doesn't even have a computer. So,
what?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wouldn't have been able to get a hold of her except by some buddy on the ground there finding her.
So this
guy does. Alex has to give that guy $5,000.
That's no good.
And then Alex has to pay to fly her and her husband to Texas.
Oh, man, that's such a bummer.
He is trying.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah, but... Ugh.
And unfortunately, it doesn't feel that great to him. once she's there. I mean, it does. He's elated. But at the same time, her presence makes him feel a little bit self-conscious.
I was not even excited about going on Piers Morgan. Didn't even have butterflies. Didn't wear a sports jacket. For Obama phone lady, I think I ought to go put a tie on. I ought to put some diamond cufflinks on.
Have a name.
Like, I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt. That's not respectful enough. That's actually all I had back there in my wardrobe. I sent stuff away to be cleaned. Okay, she's coming. May even get her husband in here with her. He's a character too, but it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
So he just described his wardrobe as being not respectful enough, and yet he still hasn't used
Obama
her
phone
name.
Lady. Yeah, he has not, and he won't for a while. This is the beginning of the fucking show.
Yeah,
it's maybe half an hour, 40 minutes of Alex being like, "I can't believe Obama phone lady's here.
I really can.
I do not deserve to be around her.
Really do.
She is the most exciting celebrity I have ever met in my life.
That seems crazy.
It is." So, Jordan, in order to fully understand the context around which the Obama phone video, which features Obama phone lady,
yes, yeah.
To understand the context it existed in back in 2012 when it was released, it's important to remember a couple of things. First, the video was posted and went viral about a month before the 2012 election, which Mitt Romney had what was looking like worse and worse chances of winning with each passing day. His campaign was in need of an October surprise that didn't appear to be coming. In fact, the opposite had come. On September 17th, 2012, a series of tapes of Romney speaking at an exclusive $50,000 a plate private dinner had been released, and a large portion of the response to them were that Romney had straight up fucked himself over. The tapes show an out-of-touch, fairly resentful, rich prick speaking freely because he knows he's surrounded by people who are the same. The line that most people ran with in terms of reporting was this, quote, "All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent on the government, who believe they're victims, who believe the government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. That's entitlement, and the government should give it to them." He goes on to say, quote, "My job is not to worry about those people." After a lackluster Republican National Convention, Romney hadn't seen a considerable bump in his numbers, so his campaign had announced they were going to move away from attacking Obama and focus on what good things Romney could do if he was elected. Then, almost immediately, this tape comes out to the surface of him telling a room full of multimillionaires that almost half of the country are people he's not supposed to care about as president. This is a huge crisis for him, if you recall.
Yeah, it didn't play well.
It looked bad.
It was bad.
Because that whole thing was so insane, people have largely forgotten that he also said this in that video about his own wife. Quote, "We use Anne sparingly right now so people don't get tired of her." Seems like a real piece of shit guy.
Hey, who cares? He put his dog on top of his fucking car and drove it.
And then tried to get a job from Trump.
How did he? Yeah. He's a senator, right?
I think so, yeah. I believe that's where he's landed.
Can you do that? Can you just put a dog on top of your car, drive with it, and then America's just like, that's fine.
Only if you laugh about
Dude,
it.
Dude, oh my God.
So Romney's campaign was in trouble. And the perception that he was a complete asshole who would sell out the poor to make the rich slightly richer was starting to take hold.
Cause it was true.
The right-wing media sphere needed to come up with something compelling, and they needed it fast. And luckily, that thing fell right into their lap about a week later, when a YouTuber named RealFreedom1776 posted a 44-second video of Michelle Dowry, who is now known as the Obama phone lady, yelling about how Obama gave her a phone, and he should stay president so he can do even more. Here is the complete audio of that video.
Obama! You got Obama phone?
Yes! Everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? Gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone?
Do more.
How did he give you a phone?
You sign up. You on food stamps. You on Social Security. You got low income. You disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey!
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? Gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone?
Do more.
How did he give you a phone?
You sign up if you're on food stamps.
I think that's a repeating.
Yeah, I think you did it.
No, I think that's I think the video might be shorter than 44 seconds.
Gotcha.
I realize now, listening to that, I think that is just
it sounded
a loop.
Like the same. Yeah, it sounded like a loop.
So if the problem was that Romney's face had been attached to the idea that 47% of the population was a bunch of freeloading, inconsequential moochers, then the natural solution to that was to make someone else's face living proof that Romney was right and that this person embodies that 47%.
She's a welfare queen.
Bingo.
It's Reagan's welfare queen all over again.
Bingo. Real Freedom 1776 had very few subscribers on YouTube, but that didn't really matter. His video was posted on September 26th, 2012, onto YouTube. And the very next day, the video was the top link on the Drudge Report with the headline, quote, Obama has my vote. He gave me a free phone. From there, it was parroted down by the right-wing media figures who have pretty much made careers off just reading Drudge headlines and riffing off them.
Yeah, that's
people
right.
Like Alex Jones, Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh. The message was clear. As conservative commentators were quick to link this viral video to a defense of Romney's horrible statements, it was very clear that this existed in opposition to each other.
Right.
They pushed the idea that this woman, at that point anonymous, was the face of the 47% that Romney was criticized for talking about. She was proof that Romney was right, and the attacks against him were really just to cover up how right he was. It's important to remember that this video went viral for two reasons and two reasons only. One, people laughing at this woman, many of whom were doing it for racist reasons, as expressed by this poster on Stormfront. Quote, first I thought this was a joke, but it's real. Racial inferiority on display. A lot of people just thought the video was funny in an absurd way. Sure, I believe that there are people who thought this was funny in a non-racist way. But make no mistake, a large portion of the people who thought the video was funny thought it was funny because how closely it mirrored their racist stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
Two, the other reason why this got really popular was that there was a coordinated media blitz to push this video in an attempt to help the Romney campaign. This was the bandage to stop the bleeding from the fundraiser videos.
Hold on. Are you saying that there is an entire media operation that
yes.
supports right-wing candidates
yeah.
regardless of fact or rational reporting?
Some of it, and especially back in 2012, it might not be as formal as some of it appears to have been in the last election cycle. But, yes, there is a pipeline for this sort of thing.
Might be.
And they needed, like I said, to stop the bleeding. So this was pushed aggressively. It was top linked on Drudge and immediately became the boogeyman of conservative talk radio. The video and audio were played incessantly on these radio shows, with the hosts then mocking and finger-wagging about the entitlement state and how this woman is proof that their Ayn Randian bullshit was right all along.
Gugh.
The second group of people, these people who were using it as a bandage to stop the bleeding in the Romney campaign, were using the video for political points. And once Romney lost, they didn't need her anymore. They didn't talk about the Obama phone lady once their purpose they were using her for was gone. I'm sure she'll be brought back up in passing when the midterms come along. But looking back at the coverage of the story, it's clear that it existed in the right-wing media just as a Hail Mary to try and help Romney. When you see something like this, where a story in the media is so coordinated for such a specific purpose, it kind of speaks volumes when a certain outlier continues to cover that story long past the point where its progenitors have left it in the dust. Alex Jones is interviewing the Obama phone lady on January 14th, 2013, quite a while after the 2012 election.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
How could you not? If you get a hold of the Obama phone lady, you don't turn down that call.
It's big stuff.
Okay.
I mean, it's a verbal contract if he says, I'm going to give you $5,000 for finding her. So maybe he wanted her before the election.
Yeah.
But then he's like, I got to honor the contract. I might as well fucking have her on.
It really does kind of sound right now, just from the first opening bit and the fact that he doesn't know her name and did not bother to learn it prior to having her.
That's not fair. I think he knows it, but he doesn't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll Is that worse?
Yeah.
That might be worse.
Well, I think also it could be one of those things where her name is Michelle and Obama's wife is named Michelle.
Okay.
So he might be second guessing himself while he's on air. Like,
he doesn't want to call her the Michelle Obama phone lady.
I want to say that her name is Michelle, but am I just thinking of Obama's wife?
Right.
What if her name is Monique or something like that? And then I look like an asshole.
Yeah.
So I know that I can just call her Obama phone lady and that's totally fine.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know.
But yeah, he does not. I think he's probably not stoked about having to spend $5,000 on
the five
Obama
grand part.
Lady.
Maybe not.
I don't think he's stoked about
it. But she's there for a reason,
uh-huh.
And it's outside of what most of the right wing used her for.
Okay.
The coverage of the Obama phone lady video was full of accusations of racism, and I think that people were right to make this charge. Outlets like The Atlantic ran pieces about how racist everyone's response to the video was, but they make an important distinction that the video itself isn't racist, nor is the person who recorded it or posted it. They assert that, quote, the racism comes when Drudge, Rush, the people who giddily retweeted the link, do a mental calculation that if enough people would just see this video, they would support Romney because it plays on the same racist stereotypes that are usually trotted out this time of the election cycle.
Yep.
The article in The Atlantic goes on to say, quote, the point of the video and the reason Drudge and Limbaugh hyped it is to say this is what Obama voters look like, black, poor, stupid, and after your money. The video's subject wasn't picked out because she happens to be black. She was picked out because she is black. Lee Atwater, strategist for Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, explained how all this works way back in 1981. Better to talk about cutting taxes and busing. Because it's, quote, a hell of a lot more abstract than N-word, N-word. And this is the same angle Alex is taking on the video. Long after it clearly didn't serve its intended purpose of driving people to Romney. Alex, I'm not saying that the N-word, N-word part is
right.
Alex's intended purpose.
Right.
But the point of saying this is an Obama supporter, this is what they look like.
Yeah.
That's his goal.
Okay, so...
His goal is to use her as a archetype.
She's a prop.
An Obama supporter.
Right.
Obama comes out and he reads off teleprompters and he looks really, really smart and like he knows things. This is what they're really like.
Right. What he's doing is it's almost like they've created a straw man and then it was brought to life, in the form of what they think she is.
And,
do you see what I'm saying?
And that's part of why Alex has to pretend he's so excited to see her and she's such a celebrity. He has to walk this really fine line of like overdoing it because if he doesn't, he's just going to yell at her or something along those lines.
Okay, so what the fuck is going
to
happen now?
He has to push, like, he has to create this spectacle of artificial respect. In order to safeguard himself from very real accusations that you're having her on your show for nefarious reasons.
Right. He's excited as a way of hiding the fact that he's racist.
Mm-hmm. But maybe we're wrong.
That tone of voice says no.
Is it this next clip?
We've been doing this long enough for me to know that tone of voice.
Well, this next clip, Alex talks about how he's going to hire the Obama phone lady.
And I'll just be honest with you here. About this is that it is my hope to stay in contact with Obama phone lady. And we'll give you her full name and stuff on air when she joins us.
All right.
And to try to basically maybe even have her as an auxiliary reporter. I haven't even told her this yet. I'm just saying it all on air. And to try to educate her.
Okay, that's a little patronizing.
Yeah.
But in this next clip, he discusses how she should get into comedy.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing for Alex that Obama was reelected. Otherwise, she might not have a phone with which for him to stay in contact.
Spoiler alert, she would.
Okay.
But it's good that Obama won because otherwise this pageant wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be out $5,000 and it'd be pointless to have her as a guest.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, what if Romney's in office? And like, well, now we've got the lady who yelled that Romney sucks bad on. Great. Alex, one of his big things is that he, in talking about her, is saying that she should get into comedy and into voiceover work.
Okay.
Which he expresses in this next clip.
I mean, see, I'm not going to lie to this lady. I told her it's hilarious what you did. I don't agree with the dependency. I think if you play your cards right, And if you go to some small-time comedy clubs and get under the right person's wing, you can develop
comedy
pieces and probably become very famous. She's got natural talent.
Okay.
Okay. Now you may continue.
Okay. I thought you, as someone who actually does do comedy still, might have a thought about how stupid that sounds.
That's what you do.
She could get
just
booked.
Just go to an open mic or...
The Octomom do a tour of
stand-up?
Really? I don't know.
That might be true.
I don't know.
I bet she's got some good stuff.
You know, you see all these things where, like, people who are on reality shows and stuff end up, like, headlining clubs.
Yeah.
And then comedians all complain about it.
Yeah, wasn't that...
She could probably have done some sets somewhere, but it wouldn't work. It'd be a flash in the pan.
Well, didn't Amy Schumer get started doing that? Didn't she? I think her story is like she'd done one or two open mics before she did Last Comic Standing, and now she's Amy Schumer or whatever.
But at least Last Comic Standing is a stand-up show.
Right.
So at least it's a reality show that is based on stand-up. It's not the same as being on Temptation Island and then doing stand-up or some shit.
That's fair.
I don't know.
I think she'd be great on Temptation Island.
Whatever.
I think everybody's great on Temptation Island.
Absolutely. My point is that this is silly. Is like, she should be a comic. I mean, she's fucking hilarious. But there's this weird trend that's going throughout. That, like, I don't really care about any of this stuff. It's just Alex being stupid. But it's important to consider how he's ramping this up. Because it's like, do you fucking think that this seems real to anyone?
Yeah.
Do you think that anyone who's ever listened to your show doesn't think, like, this is a weird Alex talking.
Yeah.
This is not in character for him. This is very strange. What are you doing, Alex? It's suspicious.
It is very suspicious.
Very.
It's almost like he's going over the top in order to
build
this woman up.
Yeah. Because it's building her up with the also added piece of, like, you know, patronizingly talking about wanting to educate her, wanting to help her, and that comes up in this next clip.
It's going to be a study of can we help somebody? But it's not like, you know, the Eddie Murphy movie where they make a bet that they can't help somebody. I know that we can probably try to help this lady and help others by her example. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Okay.
All right, so we got a Trading Places situation going on here.
But it's not like
that. It's not like that.
It's not like that because it's not betting that you can't help. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I don't think he got the message of that movie. I'm thinking he didn't really get the message of that movie.
I think he doesn't get a lot of messages.
That's fair.
Probably because his Obama phone. I don't know.
They go to voicemail.
Making a voicemail joke that didn't play out. I need to get to a small-time comedy club. Get under someone's wing.
Gotta get under somebody's wing.
Write a few
good comedy pieces.
So at this point, I think it's probably important for me to note that there's no such thing as an Obama phone. Outside of what's taken on that name because of this meme that's been created. What's behind this, because there is a little bit of reality, there is something behind it, and I'd like to generously call this a misunderstanding, is the idea that these programs do exist that help people with low incomes have access to phones. You see, telephones are considered a utility, and as such, the government has what's known as, quote, a universal service requirement for them. This was laid out in the Communications Act of 1934, which reasoned that access to wire and radio communications were an essential piece of living in the then-modern society, so all citizens should be offered access to it. The programs that have sprung out of this mandate are all centered around the understanding that having a phone or access to a phone is not some kind of luxury. It's pretty much a necessity in today's world. So the Connect America Fund was established to promote connectivity to rural communities. Then in 1984, the Lifeline program was started by then President Reagan, which aimed to, quote, ensure that all Americans have the opportunity and security that phone service brings, including being able to connect to jobs, family, and emergency services. There's an essential piece of reasoning here that right-wing folks just love to ignore, and that is that it ultimately costs society more to deprive people of access to phones than it would to subsidize them. And the only real argument against a program like this is rooted in cruelty and appeals that, quote, people like this just don't deserve it. And also, it was a Reagan program. They also love to ignore that.
Yeah.
Then, in 1996, under President Clinton, the program was redefined so that people who qualified for the benefit could choose to use it for a cell phone or a landline. But that's not anything crazy. That's just a modernization of the program to fit technological advancements.
Yep.
The program doesn't give out free phones, though, as the myth goes. It's set up to cover monthly discounts on phone service. The free phones that may or may not be given out are given at the discretion of the cell phone service provider. That company may offer a free phone as an incentive to entice customers, but that's not the government's doing. The idea of giving out phones is entirely up to these companies.
Yeah.
Also, the money for this program doesn't come from taxes, as the myth goes. Most people's phone bill includes a small fee that goes to the Universal Services Fund, and this is where the money for the program comes from. The USF is what was used to make sure that rural communities are able to call the fire department, and some of that money also goes now to make sure that just because you're poor, that doesn't mean you can't also call the fire department. Some hardcore conservatives may complain that they shouldn't have to pay a dollar in their bill for this, and that the government shouldn't force them to, and I have great news. The government isn't forcing them to. Their phone company is. The FCC requires telecommunications companies to pay into the Universal Service Fund, but it's up to the individual companies to decide whether they pass along those expenses to their customers. So if you're paying a dollar a month into this fee, this fund, don't be mad at the recipients of access to phones. Don't be mad at the government. Be mad at your phone provider for making you pay their fair share.
Regulations. Can't have them.
Well, I mean,
I don't want them.
It's their choice. If they want, if they want to charge you for it, that's the company's choice. They have to pay for access to this market that is a utility.
Right.
It's just part of how the system works.
Well, there's while I was working with the hearing impaired, there's an entire series of programs set up to get hearing impaired people phones that will function for their impairment.
Universal
they
service.
They don't have to pay for those.
Uh-huh.
It is all taken care of.
And, you know, it's, do you want the company to have to pay for that? Or do you want them to charge you for it?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the only real conversation here.
Right.
Is
right.
That fee that you get in your phone bill, are you mad enough about it? Do you think that I think the company should pay it, but I also don't mind that I'm charged it.
That's where I'm at. Well, I mean,
I would like the company to chip in on it. It seems like it's their responsibility.
It seems like it would only be fair.
But since we live in the world that we do, I also recognize the great, help, and necessity of a program like that.
Yeah.
So if you're charging me $1 or $2 a month on my bill.
Right.
Most people don't know that they're being charged for this until someone points it out.
Yeah.
They're not mad about it until someone makes them mad about it.
Hey, and why isn't there a National Men's Day, Dan?
And when the people get mad about it, or the, you know, people like Rush Limbaugh make people mad about it, they're making them mad about it by talking about a fictionalized version of the program itself. They're using propaganda to make you mad about something that's been going on since 1934 and you didn't know about and didn't give a shit about.
Yep.
And actually helps people. Probably saved a lot of lives.
Right. Well, I mean, just when you bring up the being able to call the fire department, let's go back even further when we didn't even have subsidized fire departments.
Right.
You had to pay directly if you wanted your house to be not on fire.
And think about how much more money that cost everybody.
Well, I
there's
mean, just,
a, there's a hundred.
Just the bullshit bad faith argument of like, well, if you want that kind of luxury, you should have to pay for it. Well, if you don't have a phone, period. How are you going to pay for it? How are you going to get a job if they can't call you back?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's a cycle that this is one attempt to disrupt the cycle of inability to get to the point where you could afford it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't see a real problem with that.
Nope.
If there are abuses within the system and stuff like that, then that's upon greater regulation to sort out or greater oversight of the programs.
Yeah.
And that's something that people have sought to get for, or like work on as long as the program's been in existence.
Of course.
And cell phones obviously created, new challenges to the program, and not all of it went entirely smoothly. But that's not a result of Obama or anything like that. So the reason that I find it acceptable that people are calling the coverage, of the Obama phone lady in this whole thing racist is that the coverage doesn't discuss the reality of the program like we've been discussing.
Yeah.
It just seems like they don't care about the reality that they're trying to offend people with about this. People like Rush and Alex just accept the false reality that this woman is yelling about in the video, which they then use as a cudgel to attack and mock her with. They aren't using the video as an opportunity to argue against the Lifeline program. In fact, I've not even seen the name of the program or the Universal Services Fund come up in any of the coverage I've seen.
That's really surprising, because
it's
you'd think they would want to get to the bottom of it and explain that it actually wasn't Obama personally giving her these phones or a program that Obama created.
That's the appearance that they want to give.
Obama is the appearance
handed her
to.
The fucking phone.
Oh, I see now. I thought they were arguing from a place of good faith.
No. People like Alex are using this video to send a fucked up message, and it's basically, this is what we're up against.
Yep.
This is the true face of an Obama supporter, while at the same time relying on an overtly racist trope to flesh out their coverage. They're basically attempting to launch a modern reboot of the welfare queen lie, as you sussed out almost immediately. As the Atlantic article about this points out, quote, "The video wasn't on Drudge because Drudge is advocating getting rid of the program. It's racist because the point is to portray poor black people as stupid and lazy and dupes for Obama." And that's what it comes down to. That's what Alex needs to present on this show, but he's presenting it within the context of, and I'm having her here to help her.
Yeah.
Which is probably even worse.
That's more racist, I think.
Especially considering even the people pushing this racist meme had already given up
by
this point.
Yeah.
Alex is continuing it on well past its expiration date.
Very weird.
So Alex talks for a long time about being so excited that she's coming on.
So excited.
But then he gets down to, I guess, talking about 1984. He remembers a quote from the book about the proles being able to overthrow the party.
Right, right.
I just like it whenever Alex brings up one of these books that he believes are real and are admissions of the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he accidentally just completely misinterprets something in it. So let's see if you can pick out what's wrong here in this one.
Here's from page 60. Of 1984, written by George Orwell.
First, the song.
If there was hope, it must lie with the proles. That's the common working class. Because only there, in those swarming, disregarded masses, 85% of the population of Oceania, that's England and the U.S., could the force to destroy the party ever be generated.
Did you pick out what the major glaring problem there is?
Well, it seems like that's a support for, oh God, I'm so bored.
Oceania is not the United States
and
England. It's also South America. It's also Australia. It's half of Africa. Oceania is a incredibly large area in 1984. The idea that he's presenting it as just the United States.
Well, it's the West.
Britain.
Oceania is the West,
that is,
right?
That does
Isn't
seem,
that what he's
that
talking
does
about?
Seem to be what he thinks.
It sure does seem like that.
The fact that he wholesale discounts, I don't know, half of the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's also a part
seems
of
odd.
Yeah. It's like, when you have moments like that, it's like, I don't know. I don't trust the rest of your assessment. If that's what you're taking away from this.
I mean, I would give him the benefit of the doubt there because
I wouldn't.
That's, well, okay.
Because
I mean, that's who his listeners would care about. He wouldn't, why would he mention,
right.
You know, those other
well,
countries?
Well, because outside of 1984, Oceania, relates to, Australia and the surrounding areas. So like, and even in the game of Risk. So the word has a greater context than the United States and England, and it just shows what he cares about. Anyway, I was lying. He's not done talking about the Obama phone lady.
Okay.
It's most of what he talks about.
Boy.
He hears what he has to say next, which I think is reinforcing some of the ideas that I was bringing up in my introduction for this.
Maybe ask her to print off questions for Obama phone lady so that when Michelle, that's her first name, so that when Michelle,
we have a title,
is in here in about an hour from now, we can also have some of your questions for Obama phone lady who we flown down to Austin, Texas, to really have the archetypal Obama supporter here in studio. With
oh no! Oh no! No! So no! You can't put that one there.
Alex has now overtly made my argument for.
Wow!
He's presenting her as the archetype. This is what they're all like.
This is what they're all like.
Mm-hmm.
Deep down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
So Alex said that she's going to be on in an hour, and he starts getting to some news, and then she shows up and barges into the studio.
I love it.
And let me just show folks in the document cam. Hey! Hey, guys, can you, we got a camera mounted in there. Can we punch that up for viewers? Here, come on over and say hi to folks. No, just right there in that microphone.
Hello, fans. The Obama phone lady here.
How's that audio, Genesis?
Jones show today. You better open your phones in your head.
Hey, can you give a shout out to everybody? No, go ahead.
He's talking to you.
Oh, I'm going to give a shout out to everybody here in Austin, Texas. I'm on the Alex Jones show. I'm the Obama phone lady representing Alex Jones here today. And I love that guy. He's funny like me.
Oh, my goodness. You know, there's no doubt. And I'm not just saying this. You could do voiceovers immediately.
So.
Oh, boy.
I think Alex wants to be her agent.
What is happening?
I don't know.
This is going to be weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she doesn't come into studio immediately. She just barges in and gives some shout outs. Okay. And then she's hanging out like in the booth or something like that. Uh-huh. And Alex's son is there. And so like at a certain point, Alex just yells at them like not angrily yells, but he's like, I can't handle the distraction anymore. My son is in there with the Obama phone lady. You guys got to get out of here. All right. Weird. Weird.
Yeah, there's a very weird energy to open this part up.
Yeah. So, but as he has her in the other room and he's distracted by the fact that a celebrity this big is gracing his studio with their presence, he does get into some other news and he gets a caller who asks about Sandy Hook stuff. And Alex responds in a way that blew my fucking mind in this next clip. This caller asks about the parent, Robbie Parker, who was acting in a way that people have described as being like an actor.
Okay.
Now, mic down, man. Listen to this response that Alex gives him.
Here we go.
But what I wanted to talk about was Sandy Hook. I'm somebody that believes that there's some fishiness there, and I'd like to go through a couple things. I'm not sure if you've seen all these things yet. First, have you seen the video where the little girl's father comes out, like the first guy that came out to give an interview?
Yeah, he's laughing and smiling, and he says, do I read off the card? And then he turns the camera and then breaks and then sits there and looks like he's forcing himself to cry. And then it looks like bad acting from the worst soap opera you've ever seen. But people act strange under incredible pressure. None of us know what he's going through. So my prayers go out to him and his family. But a lot of people are investigating the whole thing.
So he's suspicious.
Wait, did he forget what he said about Sandy Hook?
Yes.
Did he break character and remember that there are real people?
It's a clear indication that, like, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
Yeah, what's going on here?
But this still is internally consistent to a certain extent, because the furthest he's gone is sort of endorsing this professor, Florida University professor, who's advocating that they're all actors and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right, right.
So, like, the idea that he's saying that, like, I don't know how someone would respond in a situation like this. You know, I can't say, you know, like, it looks weird, but I can't say. It still tracks with the idea, even if he's advocating for what the professor is saying. Because the professor is saying that some people were actors.
Right.
So you could say that this guy isn't or what. But the thing that's terrifying is that Alex is keenly aware of the idea that in heavy, stressful situations, people respond in surprising ways sometimes. And that there's nothing suspicious about the idea that this guy may have nervously been laughing before he got on camera. Like, that's really scary. Because if you have that awareness, the fact that he does later make it something suspicious means that he knows full well that he's lying.
Well, he's got Obama phone lady in. He's a little bit giddy. He's acting like a...
I considered that.
He's acting a little bit like, hey, maybe I'm a real person today.
I considered that as a possibility. Yeah. The idea that he'd need to temper his language because Obama phone lady is listening.
Yeah.
And if he's like, nah, fuck it, it was all fake.
Yeah, no kidding.
That sort of thing. Maybe that would be like, well, now she's not going to talk to me.
Right.
Or something like that. I did think about that as a possibility, but I don't have enough evidence to back that up. Mm. So it's just weird.
I think maybe he's just in a good mood.
Could be.
Yeah.
So this caller does not like that response. And
of course not.
He keeps pushing.
Right.
And then Alex gets even more overt on that side of like, I'm not going down this road, which is even weirder.
Well, one thing that's weird about him is that his daughter, by the end of the day, she had a Facebook page up that was a tribute that was already looking for money. It seems kind of odd that so quickly, just a few
Listen, here's the deal. I appreciate your call, bro. I don't know about that, and I'm not going to talk about parents of dead kids, okay?
What?
And see, I don't know if that's true. That's something I haven't seen. And so it's just, I'm not going to talk about somebody who lost his daughter.
What?
That changes.
What?
That editorial position changes very severely.
Yeah. I think he's going to flip his script on that one.
Yeah.
Very shortly.
Yeah. When I heard that, I was like, what the fuck?
That's so weird.
And that's pretty much the entirety of the Sandy Hook information that we're going to take away from this episode. Because Obama phone lady is going to come in to studio. And they talk almost the entire episode. It's a very long interview.
Really?
Really boring.
Of course.
We'll hit some
of course.
We'll hit some points in it and I'll explain what happens, but a lot of it is just Alex badgering her.
Is this Alex in full on 30-year-old suing his parents to stay in their house mode?
I was going to try and slowly get to that point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
This is Alex in Mike Rotundo. I'm going to give you $3,000 to come to my studio so I can give you a pep talk.
Yeah. Give you a job, yes. Do the whole thing. Yeah.
It's 100% that same impulse that he has. But this one definitely has more of a racial tinge to it.
Yeah, it tends to.
Whereas Rotundo just had a men's rights millennial feel.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex expresses how intimidated he is that the Obama phone lady is in the building.
Really weirded out by this whole thing.
And I got to be honest. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps here and butterflies.
What is happening?
Ma'am, can you please go to the green room? You're such a big star, and I'm not joking. For whatever reason, I'm having trouble continuing the broadcast here with you in there. Did you get that chocolate shake I got you? She's awesome. Absolutely awesome. She's right there. I see you. This is incredible. She's already in command. She's all right. You can stay there. That's fine. It is distracting.
It's overt flattery. It's manipulative. It's
you think so?
Yeah.
I think he's finally reliving his pretty woman dreams or whatever it is.
I don't think that's the case. So he wants to play Eye of the Tiger whenever she comes in, cause it's like, you know, they're having a boxing match.
Yeah.
It's from
Rocky
and all that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
While he's thinking about these ideas, he's playing Eye of the Tiger, and then he gets really defensive about liking it, even though it's kind of cheesy.
It's the Eye of the Tiger. So many times. Let's go ahead. Everybody, you know you love that song, even though it's cheesy. Everybody knows when they're driving along, they turn this up. We're playing that off YouTube. It's not doing it justice. Here it is. Crank it up.
What are we doing?
Here's the challenge. Flew down here to be with the crazy Texan. Got to give it to Obama phone lady. Of the Tiger. Billy in California. You want to talk about Satan?
No.
As I was, there's so much to love about that clip.
That is a perfect clip.
First of all, at the beginning of it, you can tell that he thinks that the chorus is coming.
Yeah.
So he's like, it's the Eye of the Tiger. And then, it's another verse. So he goes through the verse, and then he gets like defensive, like, you know you love it because it's cheesy. You hear it, you roll the windows down, you fucking love it. Then the chorus does start coming, and he's like, here it is, crank it up! Crank it up. And he's like, yeah, you know, the Obama phone lady, you gotta give it to her. You gotta give it to her. She showed up here. She has the Eye of the Tiger. Then pan it down. You're on the air. You want to talk about Satan. Just got everything.
God, if that was on at 2 a.m. while you were driving and just that clip, you'd be like, It is a good night. Let's ride on
out here.
It's
so silly.
That should be a college radio station all day.
It's so fucking silly. The idea that he ends that with, like, you're on the
air, you want to talk about Satan.
It's almost a parody. Like, it's crazy.
It is. That's what he
So Obama phone lady comes in, they exchange some pleasantries, and, you know, that's all good and well.
Mm.
But the first clip that I want to play of their interaction is one where I believe that they both keenly are aware that there's more to this program than the idea that Obama is giving people phones.
Right.
They're aware of it, but they refuse to operate with that awareness. If you understand.
Both parties.
Yes.
Okay. So
they both are kind of aware that it's a racist myth.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked Obama. I had seen him last year when, and some things had went on by me being a minority and didn't know no better. I know he really didn't set the phones off. Once I spoke on that on YouTube, they showed me that it was passed, but when Obama got an election, it was Obama phones. That's how.
Well, they radically increased the funding.
Right.
Did
but
they?
He didn't put that bill out for us to get the Obama phone. That was Clinton, right?
Yes.
No.
Oh,
it was
boy.
Reagan.
It was Reagan.
But you want to present it as Clinton because you can talk about the idea that cell phones were included in the plan under Clinton because you don't want to make the perception that this is a bipartisan thing.
Yeah.
And it was started under your conservative god king,
right.
Ronald Reagan. You want to make it look like it's only Democrats because the idea is that Democrats are giving you free things to keep you on the plantation because they hate you and all this nonsense.
Right.
When if you incorporate the greater reality of it, that argument completely falls apart and you can't do this propaganda pageant that she's here as a tool for Alex to use.
Right.
And I'll be honest, he ends up succeeding.
Yeah, well.
It's pretty bad. But for most of the time, Alex is just trying to get her to hate Obama.
Okay.
He is just going on and on being like, well, don't you know that he uses drones?
Okay. All right.
Which, I mean, if I had Alex sitting down right now, I could be like, hey, you know, Trump uses drones. You know, all of the same arguments could be used.
Yeah.
For someone to throw in his face now.
Yeah.
So it just.
Shitty foreign policy is also a bipartisan affair.
Yeah, it feels empty.
Yeah.
It just feels like him trying to get her to not like Obama so he can then brag about getting the Obama phone lady to not like Obama. And it's annoying.
My point is, Obama is a front man for some very dangerous criminal organizations. Have you heard of the New World Order?
A little bit. I heard you talking.
Okay, these are people that want you dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of Alex just saying, like, a lot of his normal talking points and her being like, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's just also trying to be like, the Democrats hate you because you're black. And this clip is a good encapsulation of that, especially because of how it ends.
And I want you to know.
Right.
That I have Margaret Sanger in all the documents where they said about 100 years ago, they said, we're going to go in and take over the black community. We're going to hire their leaders and we're going to get abortion legalized so we can kill these people. The Democratic Party exists to put you 6 feet under.
Mm.
The Republicans are a bunch of gangsters too, but the Democrats, the modern Democratic Party is designed to kill black people. We'll be right back. Okay.
All right.
Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
That went on a little bit longer than I thought.
Yeah, well, Alex made the point he needed to make. And that's Republicans are bad, but Democrats want to kill all the blacks.
Yeah.
So get over with us because we're bad, but we're not bad.
That's a real frustrating thing when you can throw to commercial and you can just have the last word no matter what, and that might be a fucking insane thing.
Yeah.
Like, the Democratic Party wants to kill you. All right, it's time to go to break. Like, no, you can't
bow,
do that.
Bow.
No. Don't chicka me.
I got it. Sorry.
No. You can't just say that and
hard
then go
break.
To break. No. Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you'll open with that when we come back to break, right? Or come back from break.
Nope, certainly
not.
Oh,
no, we're not
going to discuss
about,
that. More about lies about phones.
Oh, okay,
and
great.
What have you. And interestingly, Michelle's phone keeps ringing. During the episode, which Alex would never put up with from anybody else, but he is completely fine putting up with it here because he needs this interview.
But that's okay. He's the president. He got that pool to do whatever he can do. They go to that Obama file.
Go ahead and take it.
All right there. Hello? I'm on the air. I can't talk to you guys. My minutes are up. My Obama phone.
Continue. So, but.
So he wouldn't allow, that from anybody else. No. That's an absurd, thing, but he needs to present as being fair and like, hey, we're having a great time. Me and Obama phone lady. Isn't this great? While at the same time trying to attack her with all of his propaganda that he can. In order for the outcome that he wants. The outcome that he wants here is presenting the idea that I have convinced her that Obama is bad.
Right.
This person who blindly and stupidly was out there screaming at a Romney rally that Obama was going to give us phones and all this, I have managed to show her the light and the truth.
Right.
In the same way that, like, Mike Rotondo is this embarrassing 30-year-old who's suing his parents for kicking him out of the house, Alex wanted the end result of that to be like, I have got him on his feet. I convinced him to shave.
Yeah.
I got him in this apartment because I am able to do that for you.
By using my principles and applying them to you.
It's such a valuable
thing
for him from a propaganda standpoint that he's willing to put up with her phone going off multiple times throughout the interview. He's willing to pretend that she's the biggest celebrity ever to butter her up with flattery to make her not feel on guard about the idea that he's just bombarding her with these stupid ideas and like knowing that like, okay, I'm going to say that Margaret Sanger wants to kill all black people.
Right.
And I know that you don't know anything about this and I know you're not going to look it up. It's the same strategy that like manipulative fucks use when they go on Rogan's show.
Yeah.
They know that the maximum amount of research that anybody can do while on the program is a Google search.
Yeah.
And so if you have the appearance of something that'll come up on Google, then your argument's gonna fly. And that's what Alex ends up succeeding with. Because he ends up talking about how, like, Obama promised that there wouldn't be any new taxes. There would be no taxes, and then there are taxes.
Mm.
So one of his interns or whatever Googles those things, shows it to her, and then she's like, wow, Obama did lie.
Yeah.
And because he's been beating her down throughout this entire episode, once that reveal is made, she's like, wow, Obama, I'm not going to vote for him next time.
Oh, no.
But also...
He gets it?
But also, she can't, because that would be his third term. And that's not even a possibility.
I would also say that her phone going off during this interview is a win for him just because she keeps saying Obama phone. She has to keep bringing up the very thing that he wants everybody to associate her with.
Yes.
And associate with, you know...
It does help.
Yeah.
It does help, but that's also why he's not behaving like the way we know he normally does.
For sure.
So I feel bad that I've sort of revealed some of the end of where it gets to, but some of that is important because to know even in the middle. In the middle, where we're at now, she's not responding super well to Alex's, like, his bombardment with, like, this is, like, the Democrats want to kill blacks.
Right.
Because it's very aggressive, and he hasn't shown that, you know, ostensible proof of lying yet. So she's kind of like, all right.
We're getting a lot of mm-hmm's.
And Alex is interpreting that as, like, that she's very somber and weird on air, but it really just seems like he's being a dick to her, and she's trying to be polite.
Come right back with the one, the only, the Obama phone lady. It's very, very somber in here. We've got a lot of video of her behind the scenes. She's a crackerjack. We'll be right back.
I just think that there's a real strong feeling that she's protecting herself from someone who's being rude to her.
Yeah.
And in this next clip, I think we can really see this fully. Because when they come back, Alex wants to ask her about guns and her feelings about guns.
Oh, no.
And later he indicates that they talked about it last night when she had flown into town. He knows that she's against guns.
Yeah.
So she knows that he knows her position already, and she knows that he's probably gonna yell at her if she answers the question, and you can see how that plays out.
Where do you stand on the right to keep and bear arms? You're not on a Perry Mason up on a courtroom. We just want to know where you come from. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment? Where do you stand on the right to own guns?
I'm against that.
There you go. So you want the government to have guns, but not the people.
No guns at all. Have faith in God.
Well, God has faith in those that have faith in themselves. See,
can you say that?
I'm not into the guns, you know, and to me, it's a lot of nonsense with that.
I'm not into guns with the government having them.
Cool. Great. So, but you could tell yeah. that she had, like, last night when they talked about it, he probably got really animated yeah. talking about guns, and she has a feeling that, like, this isn't going to go well. I don't want to answer your question.
Yeah.
Because what it could end up with. And that's why she's quote unquote somber, is because I think that whether it's on a conscious level or subconscious level, she has a sense that he's going to yell at her, or there's going to be, if she doesn't go the right path, that things are going to go bad.
Right. Well, I mean, when you hear her receiving these questions, you can hear the thoughts in her head just go, what possible good outcome could there be when I answer this?
Yeah. Why does it matter what I think about guns?
Yeah, he's not asking me this for my opinion.
Exactly.
He's asking me this so I can say things and then he gets to yell at me about this.
Right, right. I can either be used as an example of somebody who doesn't know what I'm talking about or a joke or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think you could tell there's the feeling of trouble.
There's no win for her in that question.
Nope. So this is my favorite.
Or any of these questions,
none,
really.
None. Yeah. This is my favorite clip of the entire thing. And it's when Alex is talking
with her. Even better than Eye of the Tiger?
Yeah. Alex is talking to her and she discusses getting state IDs for people so they could be able to vote. Alex thinks that he has accidentally stumbled upon proof of illegal aliens being allowed to vote. And I'm going to pause it after the part, because I think you might miss it, or some of the listeners might miss it, but it's so funny to me how this ends up playing out. I think that this is absurd, and it's unbecoming.
I had plenty of people telling me, yeah, I'm going to vote for Obama, but I don't even got a state ID. I had to show people how in Cleveland you can get your birth certificate and stuff free to get a state ID so you can vote.
Did you see any illegals vote?
Illegal?
People that aren't citizens.
Yeah, I even got them to vote.
Oh, no, hold on. We don't want to, seriously, I was just joking.
I did. People that wasn't in our country.
Oh, no.
I had some people, foreign people, that had a paper stating that they were here. They turned over from, they call them Arabs. Arabs. In Cleveland, we call them Arabs. And the Arabs on the store, they've been here 2 years or whatever, but they don't have a state driver's license or a state ID.
You're saying in Ohio, they let people vote from other countries?
No, they had to get a state ID.
No, I understand, but the getting the ID allowed them to vote.
Right, because they've been here. One dude told me he'd been here 3-4 years, and he ain't never voted because he's foreign or not from here. And I said, how long you been here? And he said 2 years. And I said,
you're sure they weren't citizens?
No, they weren't citizens. Not if you ain't from America. They had IDs from Wyoming, W-Y-O-M-I-N-G, Wyoming, or
Yemen.
Did you catch that? I think you're laughing, so you caught that. They had an ID from Wyoming. And Alex's response is, Yemen?
She's fucking with him.
I don't think she is.
You don't think so?
I think that because of her feelings about Middle Easterners, she thinks
that Arabian people from Wyoming
are foreigners.
Are foreigners. Okay.
I think that the otherness of Middle Easterners to her, is informing that she thinks that Wyoming is some sort of foreign land or whatever. And what is really, you can't vote in Ohio, even if you're an Ohio resident, with a Wyoming ID.
Right.
So you would need to update your ID in order, to register to vote. That's what she's describing the process that she was involved in as. But because Alex is so fucking suspicious.
Jesus.
He should have heard that and been like, Wyoming. Oh, I see. This is just an out-of-state ID situation.
Yeah.
But he doesn't suss that out. He's decided that it's Yemen. And then it goes on even longer.
I am liking her. She's getting out the vote. She's helping people get IDs. This lady is kicking ass.
Yeah, but now Alex is reinterpreting all that as a negative thing.
Right, of course.
Something like that. I knew they wouldn't, because they talk like we talk, but They're not from here.
All right, Michelle, I just want to be clear. I like you. Mm-hmm. I think you're a good person. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure earlier, just to be clear, you didn't know that, that people that are foreigners aren't allowed to vote, right? You didn't know that.
No. But when they've been here in America so long, they could go get a state ID and vote.
I know. So they told you that was okay at the Democratic Party. They said, oh, go get them a driver's license.
If they've been here for some amount of uptown, because I had to check back with the office and see how they can vote. If they're legal, they're legal American now. They've been here so long.
So they were citizens.
They were citizens, but they didn't know that they were citizens. Well, I guess they did know because they still had foreign identification. But they've been here a long time.
And then you would help them go get a driver's license that allowed them to vote.
Right.
State ID.
And they were able to vote. They've been here for up some years. He said he owned the store like 4 years. He never voted. And I said, well, why? He said he never even applied for a state ID.
Have you heard about the problem of illegal aliens voting?
So Alex is trying to make the conversation about that, but it's clearly not.
Yeah.
And so even like a couple of minutes after this, Alex is even like, oh, I guess they are citizens. Even he gives up on this. But it doesn't stop this from being repeated in right-wing circles as some sort of an admission that Michelle Dowry has made that she was involved in helping get illegal immigrants voting abilities through getting them state IDs.
Oh, my God.
This is what that is built on.
And she was doing everything right. She's doing everything. She's even calling the office, going back.
I mean, she would say that her prejudice is a little bit glaring.
You get one thing wrong. Okay. There's prejudice.
They talk just like us.
But they're not from here. they talk like we talk, but they're not from here.
Hold on.
You know what? Okay. That's bad. Hold on. That's bad.
We call them Arabs.
That's bad.
That's not. That's not what I'd like to
but
hear.
But it doesn't seem like she's discriminating in a malicious way. More of just an ignorant way.
It does feel,
you know, like if you're,
I mean, I don't know what the line is, but yeah.
If you're discriminating maliciously, you're not then going to go like, cool, that's great. Let's go to the state ID office and let me help you out here.
Most likely.
She's got a heart. Her heart's in the right place.
It's possible. I don't know enough to say, but yeah, it's not as bad as Alex.
No, it's not as bad as Alex.
So at this point, they start taking calls from listeners. Who want to talk to Obama phone lady.
Right. I bet they have some really stunning insights to bring to the table.
Well, one of them wants to prove to you that Obama is the devil.
Okay.
Yeah, Michelle, you seem like you're a believing woman. You realize we're in the latter days. I'm sure you do from all the signs and things like that, right?
Right.
Well, why don't you look up Obama and November 5th, Illinois state lottery winning. If God was going to give us an indication that this man is on the wrong side of this battle for our souls, then look up November 5th, Illinois lottery, the number that came up for the pick 3-3. And this is not I checked this out myself on one of those, check the numbers, mm-hmm. type of thing.
Right, right.
Came up 666.
No, I remember. And then some others came up 666.
Right. I remember that, too.
Okay. So God's speaking through the lottery.
Okay.
That's
now,
good.
Now, if it wasn't obvious, I made myself a piece of toast, and it had Obama's face with horns on it.
Right.
Duh.
I mean,
now we know.
If God was going to speak to you, it would be through toast.
It would also be through the lottery numbers. God does work in mysterious ways.
Guys.
He has fallen a long way off from burning bush territory.
I understand that you want to present the idea that these are the end times and Obama's evil, but you have to understand that your framework has to be better than God speaks through lottery numbers. Just if you break it down, you look crazy.
You are crazy.
Yes. Your caller looks crazy, and you're being like, yeah, you know what? I saw it was in other lotteries, too.
Well, then what? Oh.
Alex is making it worse.
Man, now, if it was every lottery on that day gave the 666, now we're in territory where I'm thinking.
Coincidence makes it's a little harder to explain away if
every state lottery has.
And everything that involves three numbers. Yeah. Like everybody who gets gas ends up, the pump stops at $6.66.
$6.66.
Yeah. Whatever.
then we have a conversation.
Yeah.
Come on.
So now we get another caller who, I only keep this in because it really sounds like he's reading a script.
Let's go to Mike in Tennessee. You're on the air listening on 1600 WMQM. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Alex and Michelle. First, I just real quickly want to say, if Michelle, if you haven't seen the Obama deception documentary, I highly recommend that Alex gets you a copy of that as well as all of his other documentaries, a year subscription to his magazine, as well as access to InfoWars TV that she can view from any computer anywhere, including the public libraries.
You know, she can access that from the public libraries due to the Universal Service Fund that, but who cares?
Wow.
Yeah. That really seems like a plant.
Yeah. A lot of consecutive plugs there.
Yeah. I mean, it feels that way, but it also, you know, I accept the possibility that it's just someone who gathered their thoughts really well, before getting on air.
Yeah. I mean, there's that. But even then,
Anything's possible.
All of that, you're gonna plug Infowars.tv?
It's a little suspicious.
That's troublesome.
So, all the callers that are calling in are essentially along these lines. Either lunatics who think that God speaks through the lottery.
Right.
Shills. Or people who are like, hey, Michelle, you gotta hate this Obama guy.
Yeah.
Except for this one call. This call makes a pretty good point.
Key in New York, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Michelle?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, Alex?
Worldwide broadcast, my friend. What's on your mind?
Yo, you know something, Michelle? The only reason why you're there is to be clowned. That's the only reason why you're there. Before you got there, they played that soundbite of yours over and over and over again to clown you. And the reason why he's trying to get you to say things is because he needs audio so that he can play that back and clown you again when you leave.
Now hold on just a second, Key.
Ain't nobody gonna.
But hold on. When we called her and when she got off the plane, I said, I think it's funny. And, you know, we did make jokes about it because it's funny, but it's also sad. And I said that at the time we aired it. If you go back to the first times we aired it, and I said I thought she was an interesting lady and was talented and funny. And I've said, I bet that lady's a character. So we've got her here, and you know, I clown around some too. So all I'm saying is don't misrepresent what I actually stand for and what I believe in. I mean, it is horrible that they're trying to domesticate us, and I'm here actually trying to reach out to her to try to explain to her why we need a Second Amendment and things like that. Okay? And obviously, I said, I want that lady on the show months ago. And then I made kind of a joke about it saying, okay, a bounty to get her on if somebody can find her. And we got her on. Is this not interesting radio, sir?
No.
I think he was right on every point.
Uh-huh.
I think he got it.
So that Key guy is 100% right.
Yeah.
Alex
yeah.
is having her on to clown her and.
And it is uninteresting radio.
And he needs the audio so he can clown her later.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the case. Now, Alex is saying, look, don't misrepresent what I stand for. Even back when this video came out, I said that she seems like a character. It's funny. She seems funny. I bet she'd be really interesting to talk to. Hey, Alex, let's listen to how you covered that video when it first came out.
Oh, no. Receipts.
Here are some of the clips of Alex talking about this after it was posted on Drudge. Here is Alex saying that she's just pathetic.
They want to hurt you. Margaret Sanger was a Nazi. In fact, the Nazis were inspired by her, so she's not a Nazi. She's the Nazi's mama. You still want an Obama phone? Yeah, you do. And it's identity politics. It's identity politics. Here is Obama phone. One more time.
Obama.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone.
He's gonna do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up if you're on full stamps, you on Social Security.
Yeah, you get a microwave system to give cancer and track you.
Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey, Romney.
That's enough.
You got Obama phone?
That woman is so pathetic, and she's worried all her goodies are going to be taken away.
So that doesn't seem like how he's presenting how he covered it.
No, it doesn't. It seems very very mean-spirited.
Yeah, and in this next video, or the next clip, Alex riffs for a while about how she sounds like an evil version of Elmo.
Elmo gone bad.
I'm in president, you know?
Literally. Guys, can we pull up Elmo real quick? Just a short clip of Elmo. Because I don't mean to be mean, but I'm sorry. This woman sounds like a demonic Elmo. Everybody get Obama phone. I can't even do it. And I've got the guys finding him. We're compiling a bunch of people. A bunch of different ones that you're not hearing anywhere on talk radio, because I remembered them. We're finding some of them. Listeners are sending them to us. There's dozens of these things with people going, oh, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to get a free car and a free house in Florida. And women going, Mr. President, I want a free house. He's like, all right, I'll get it for you. Don't worry. Absolutely. Oh, you're going to faint there, baby cakes.
Point of order, he never produced any of those videos.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Did Obama
remember
say
that 4 years
cakes?
Ago? I don't do a very good Obama. I can do a Bill Clinton. I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. We do have Elmo.
That was
listen
it?
Listen to her carefully because...
Do your thing.
Go ahead.
Petunia.
No.
No. Okay. Sesquipedalia.
No.
No.
It's not really Elmo. I'm telling you, that woman sounds like the Grouch. I don't know. It sounds like some Muppet. I've let my kids watch Sesame Street a few times. Does...
Wait, what?
You got Obama phone?
Yes. Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know?
Well, I'm sorry. I just love that woman's voice. I guarantee you, we need to find her as a talent search. I could give her comedy lines. She would be the biggest sensation in the country. Yeah, who's that? Oscar the Grouch. It's like Oscar the Grouch meets Cookie Monster. Meets, I don't know. I'm done. Turn it off. Oh, man, I can't handle it anymore. You know, people that like to feel good and superior looking at this pathetic woman, this is being done to every racial group. She's just further down the rat hole.
That's not great. I would say that presentation is pretty fucking offensive.
Yeah, I just have a question. Why did he say he let his kids watch Sesame Street?
Because it's globalist programming.
A couple of times he let his... That's a weird thing to say.
It's pretty weird.
That's a weird way of putting it.
I imagine he's just... I don't even know what he's trying to get across. But that coverage of her is gross.
Yeah.
I thought I had more to say, but I don't. I mean, it really just doesn't match up at all with what he's trying to present. He's laughing at her.
He's describing her as a literal clown.
Yeah.
He's calling her a Muppet. He's saying that if he feeds her comedy lines,
which is slightly
her clownishness will come through.
And that idea of if I write the comedy lines, she could be funny is very different than how he's presenting it while she's around in this January 2013 when he's saying she is so funny. If she just went to some small time comedy clubs, she could be funny. No, she needs Alex writing for her.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because he's the brains of the operation.
Yep.
She is a clown to him. In his next clip, Alex talks about, these are all from, what is this, September 29th, 2012, when this video broke. Here is him talking about how you can laugh, but this woman is sad.
I got an Obama phone.
Wow, we're really going on with
this. This is sad. You can laugh at one level at this lady, but it's sad. It's sad.
So his version of it is almost like, it's not even good to laugh at this because it's beyond laugh.
Yeah.
This deserves reproach, that sort of thing. So here's a clip from Alex on the Nightly News, the InfoWars Nightly News from October 9th, 2012, where he calls the Obama phone a national nightmare.
And again, some people like to laugh at that lady. It's very, very sad that their hopes and dreams are to elect someone who will take from others to give to them. That is the opposite of the American dream. That's the American nightmare.
So I just think that this caller, while he doesn't have all these clips at his disposal necessarily, I think he's making a pretty fair point, and Alex is very defensive about it because this is exactly what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Also, it should be pointed out that on September 28th, 2012, Paul Joseph Watson wrote an article about the Obama phone lady posted on InfoWars.com that begins, quote, a video clip posted by the Drudge Report has since gone viral, which shows an Obama supporter semi-incoherently blathering about how she's voting for Obama.
Whoa, dick.
because the government gave her a free phone. It tragically underscores how the state exploits dependency by offering poor people trinkets while simultaneously stealing their entire economic future. That article goes on to say, quote, once you've recovered from the hilarity of the video clip, the awful truth begins to sink in. And he later describes her speech as, quote, shrieking, and condemns, quote, the delusion that these people are living under knows no bounds. Bizarrely,
dick.
Paul Joseph Watson ends that article on a weirdly racial tinge.
Oh, a weirdly racial tinge?
Kind of, because it might be unintentional.
Okay.
Quote, while their entire economic future has been sold down the river, these people have allowed their votes to be bought by a free phone. Which, of course, being sold down the river is a reference to the slave trade down the, like, Mississippi.
These people.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's intentional, but it's very weird that that's the end of the, I don't know, it could be nothing. Could be.
I mean, there are a lot of regional and, different idioms that probably, that trace their lineage back to slavery in some way. So.
Then, on December 11th, 2012, Paul Joseph Watson wrote another article on InfoWars that said, quote, the video is cited by critics of big government as a reflection of the typical Obama supporter.
God damn it.
Someone lazily dependent on government handouts whose vote could easily be bought with free stuff.
Lazily dependent. First off, she is very coherent in that video.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what she is saying every step of the way.
Yeah.
And it's made crystal clear what she's saying. And also, even in that video, she's not being lazy. Like, she has to go.
She's out protesting at a Romney rally.
Yeah, exactly. What are you guys doing?
Right. So, I mean, look, if you look at this, there's just nothing that's real about what Alex is presenting about his, how he's covered the story in the past, what his intentions are in the present. Because on January 15th, 2013, Alex posted an article on InfoWars about how he woke up the Obama phone lady.
Yeah.
Because she came around to be like, oh, Obama did lie about this. So it's enough of a propaganda win that he's able to pretend that he succeeded here. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because the only people who cared about this story cared about it to push Romney. That's the only reason that it made it on Drudge. They were using these welfare queen racist archetypes and stuff like that. But the purpose that was behind it was Romney.
Then why did Paul, why did PJ Dubs write that article
because
on December 11th?
Because he works for Alex.
Okay.
Alex isn't on the main team.
So you're saying Alex is directing him to write articles about the Obama phone lady past December? He must be.
Alex,
that's the only explanation. Otherwise, why is he focused on it?
Because InfoWars doesn't operate in the entirely same world this funnel does.
Right.
They go across purposes a little bit and sometimes have their own druthers that they follow.
Yeah.
And this is just one of their druthers.
Recycled viral content.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have one last clip here, and it's just one of the weirder things that Michelle says in this interview. Towards the end, they're talking about how the police are out of line, which is a fair point.
Yeah.
But her example of why the police are out of line is really weird. See if you can catch what she's saying here.
Where I live at and where I was at, the police is running it. And I seen it with my own eyes, and I'm glad you brought a lot to my attention about that, because I've just moved from Cleveland Heights to Cleveland. Cleveland, you can walk outside butt naked. You go to Cleveland Heights, they're going to arrest you, say you raped somebody because you're butt naked. The police is running it all.
I'm confused. Apparently in Cleveland you can walk around naked. In Cleveland Heights you cannot.
Right.
Police state.
I think her metaphor is still apt. Mm-hmm. I actually think that makes a lot of sense. Cleveland Heights being a place that the cops are constantly discriminating against black people, in Cleveland being a place where they're not.
I think you could probably make an argument that what she's saying, or what's behind what she's saying, is that they're over-policed in Cleveland Heights.
Exactly.
And the idea, like, you could walk outside and no one would notice that you're naked in Cleveland, possibly.
Right.
Whereas in Cleveland Heights, there's such a police presence that you can't get away with it. But it sounds funny.
It
it sounds funny, but there is probably like a reality behind it.
I think she's absolutely right in what she's describing, but she did put it in an interesting fashion.
Well, if she's trying to argue about the over-policing, then yes. If she's trying to complain about not being able to walk around naked, then no.
Yeah, well, it, yeah.
Because in Cleveland, if a cop saw you walking around naked, they'd still have some questions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, beyond any, like, fine points that are behind the nudity in Cleveland argument.
Is that an epidemic?
No, I don't know. You kind of get the sense, like, that's kind of as good as this interview could ever be.
Yeah.
Really. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It, and Alex, on some level, knows that what he's walking into is either going to be him getting her to see his side of things, and then he wins, or she says stuff like, you can't walk around naked in Cleveland Heights.
Right.
And then people are like, oh, look at this typical Obama supporter, right, as Alex has already presented it.
Right.
You see that he has set himself up in such a situation, mm-hmm, that he wins kind of no matter what, although it's a Pyrrhic victory since no one really cares.
Yeah.
And you don't even, like, I don't think most people who listen to our show or you or almost anybody remembers
yeah,
this.
No.
Because the Obama phone lady video was specifically used for the Romney campaign.
Right.
Now, not by the Romney campaign.
Of course not.
But it was
by the media arm supporting the Romney campaign. Right. They're completely different entities.
I think Romney knew better than to officially associate, because
yeah,
that would have been
very racist.
Yeah.
Now, Key was almost 100% correct. He left it at, they're just there to clown on you, which would be reusing the walk around butt naked clip.
Right.
But he forgot to add, also they're using you as a propaganda tool, hopefully to convince everybody that, look, even the prototypical, or the archetypal, Obama voter, once they see the light, mm-hmm, will abandon him.
Right.
And join the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I guess, a win for Alex, but it doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
I
think it's a win for us.
I was a little disappointed, because I'd spent a lot of time with our Monday episode, and then the Wednesday episode getting into the Space Liar, channeling stuff. And I'd forgotten.
You do not need to speak in different voices.
You don't have to. And I'd forgotten that the next episode was the Obama phone lady coming in. So when I sat down to get ready to, like, you know, work on the episode, I turned it on and Alex is like, the Obama phone lady's going. I'm like, God damn it. I was like, this is going to take the entire episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there's nothing really for us to learn.
No.
And on that level, I'm actually kind of happy, because ultimately we do learn that what Alex is up to.
Yeah.
And you can see his, what he likes to do, how he operates, and that sort of thing. But learning about the world is not happening.
Mm. No. Especially, it's not even happening in the context of the time period where it's supposed to.
Mm-mm.
Like, what other conclusion is there to draw than Alex is trying to create a racist caricature that he can exploit?
Well, and then, like, I mean, think about the welfare queen parallels, mm-hmm, things like that. Like, obviously, the image of the welfare queen is used to try and push through unpopular legislation,
yeah,
or it's used in that way to create a boogeyman, that,
yeah,
sort of thing. But it's also used to deflect from sort of ideas of cruelty on the right. Like, these ideas of, like, trying to help these welfare queens not live in the state that they're living in.
Right.
That sort of thing. The idea of using that myth to make yourself look like not the monster that you are.
Right, 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 right.
It really is very parallel to what Alex is doing.
Oh, like, absolutely.
He's using her in this way in order to humanize himself. It's like, I'm willing to reach out to this person who's such a fucking typical Obama supporter, a manifestation of everything I hate. Aren't I magnanimous?
Yeah.
And that even in itself is propaganda. It's, I don't know. It's a bummer, and I'm glad to be past it, because I don't want to fucking,
yeah,
I don't even want to think about this. I know he doesn't hire her. I don't think she shows back up on the show.
Surprise.
Ever again. I think this is probably the end of it. So anyway, we'll be back next week. But until then, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Correct. We're also on Twitter at knowledge_fight.
And go to Bed Jordan.
Also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to iTunes or any number of podcast applications.
There's so many of them.
There's
and
so many.
Luminity took us down.
Hey, fuck those guys.
But good on them for responding within a couple days to an email. I thought they would just ignore it.
Yeah.
I've had situations like that before where people are like, fuck you, I don't give a shit. So I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And also,
what else is
the Obama phone lady hasn't killed anybody.
She definitely hasn't killed anybody.
She's just
helped a lot of people vote.
We would have heard about it if she'd killed anybody.
Probably. The right wing would have really made that a big deal.
Absolutely. But one person who technically probably has killed somebody, is someone who tried to make a clown out of the Obama lady, Obama phone lady, and that's Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.